Exodus, second chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Chapter 2, we'll start reading at verse number 1. There went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, dubbed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. Behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew. She brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you again today for the Bible, the Word of God. I thank you for the songs we've heard tonight about the cross. Thank you so much, Lord, and help us to be reminded of the wonderful, precious work of your Son there on the cross of Calvary that purchased our salvation, paid the sin debt for us. Now, Father, tonight, this preacher needs your power and your wisdom as I preach. Ask you, God, to do that for me. You know the needs of my life, and I ask you, Father, to help me. And then, Lord, to help us all to just realize what a wonderful, wonderful Savior we have, how good you've been to us. And, Father, to just take the message tonight and use it to your glory. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message tonight. I just entitled it, "The Preparation of Moses." The Preparation of Moses. I believe if you look back over the people's lives in the Bible, men who are called of God, used of God, I think you find the same thing today in reality, in life today. You find that God prepares a person for the work he has for them to do. And I think even to maybe to a, I mean, might use the word a lesser degree, I believe God prepares every single person for what he has for them to do in life. But I especially believe when there's someone called of God to be used to the work of God for the rest of his life, that God does a preparation in that person's life and prepares them for that work. He gets them ready. He has to do that. And so it's very, very important that all of us understand. It's important that the young people understand. God prepares us for the work he has for us to do. And there's much preparation to be done. I want to kind of use Moses tonight as one who was prepared of God, even as a little baby. You find him here as a little baby, God watching over him. God allowing certain things to happen in his life. 3 months old, he's in an ark of bulrushes, and Pharaoh's daughter finds him. Those things are not accidents. Those are prepared of God. And Pharaoh's daughter goes and gets Moses' mother to care for him, to train him, until Pharaoh was going to come and call him, or Pharaoh's daughter was going to call him to be her son. And all of these things happen not by accident, not by chance. They happen because the hand of God was upon this child. Why? Because he had a great work for this child down the road. And so what I want to do is just kind of look at a few things tonight and then share with you some things at the end of the message. I believe that God is preparing you. I believe God prepared folk throughout this congregation for that which God had called them to do in life, what he's appointed them to do in life. I believe, as I look back now, and it's easier to look back than it was forward, but I know God did things in my life that was preparation work for me, that at the time I did not know it. I did not understand it. But it was preparation. It was things that God put in me to get me ready for the work that he had for me to do for life. We'll talk about that in just a little while. But we find the very birth of Moses here. Egypt, or Israelites, had been in bondage for 400 years. And we find that Egypt was beginning to afflict them in a very terrible, terrible way. So they needed deliverance. And they needed a deliverer. Once again, let me state this. I want you to listen to me. God always uses somebody. Now, God, all he'd have to do is speak, and all things would fall in place if he said to. But he doesn't do it that way. He could have just killed all of Pharaoh and his armies and turned the Israelites loose if that's what he wanted to do.
Amen.
But he chose a deliverer by the name of Moses. And it took him 80 years to get him ready. Get him ready, get him prepared. 80 years of preparation to get Moses ready to do the job that God had designed for this man to do for the next 40 years. There was some cruel things happening to Egypt. There was the order came out for the children to be killed, the men's children to be killed. Horrible things was going on. I want to show you in chapter 2, verse number 2, says, "And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. One of the things I want to say, it was so important for Moses to have the right parents. It was so important that he had parents, it was godly parents, that would bring this child up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I've cautioned you before, you've heard it, you've probably thought about it. But folks, you don't know who you have in your home. You may have a Moses. No, he won't be delivering Israel, but you may have one there in your home that God is going to pull out and use for the glory of God. It's very important that we realize that, understand that, and raise our children in the ways of the Lord. Amen? So be sure, because you see, these parents were not afraid of the king. They had more of the fear of God in them than they did the fear of the king. And they was going to put into this child, and I believe in the very short time that they had this child, God helped them to pour into that child some tremendous teachings and trainings that would go with him for the rest of his life. I don't know for sure how long they had him, but they had him for a while, and he put into him some training that he was going to need as God was preparing him for the work that he was going to do. Amen. So then, of course, we find, and I think most of you know, as we would go through the scripture there about how he was put in this ark of bulrushes, and he was placed there, and you know, it was the providence of God, as we said. It was not something that was just by chance or accident. It was the providence of God Almighty. And God put this child there so that Pharaoh's daughter would find him. The child would be nursed and taken care of by his own mother. And then he was brought back to Pharaoh, and for 40 years he grew up there in Egypt. That's the promise of providences of God. Now, if you look at this, and you would say, well, that's pretty tough. A child being taken away from his mother and living there in Egypt and growing up in Egypt. I want to say some things to you. It's the tough things of life that put something in us. Right, Brother David Townsley? It's that tough time in that hospital that you spoke about the other night that puts things in us that can't be put in any other way. And so many times what we're doing is complaining and griping about the hard times and the difficult times when God's trying to do something. God's trying to put something in us that would never be there any other way. So we've seen then, of course, the days of his maturity. He grew up there in Egypt, and like I say, for 40 years. But thank God that his mother, somewhere along the line here, had instilled in him the importance of the Israelite people and that they were his people. You remember, he killed that Egyptian. We're not okay in that, but that's what happened. He killed the Egyptian and saved the Israelite man. Why? Because it would have been instilled in him that the Israelites was his people. And it ought to be instilled in us that God's people are our people. They're not our enemy. They're our brethren. Amen? Sure. And so we find him coming to maturity, but yet being brought there with things that has been placed into him at a very early age, and they was instilled in him, and they was still in him at 40 years of age. Then we find him on the backside of the desert. If you look at Exodus 2 and verse number 16, it says, "Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock." Now, of course, you all understand this was just a chance meeting. Just so happened that Moses just appeared there at a certain time when the daughters here of Reuel was there. Now, you know better than that. I know better than that. This, again, is the providence of God. And then it says, he says, and when they, in verse 18, "And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, 'How is it that ye are come so soon today?' And they said, 'An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us, and watered the flock.' And he said unto his daughters, 'And where is he? And why is it that he have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread.'" Once again, you see, he's there, and everything was working out just exactly the way God intended for it to work out. We've got to understand there's things that happen in life. It's going to things happen in your life that don't seem just like it ought to be there. I don't understand, Caleb, all the reason why you missed the last part of the year there, came home. I don't understand all those things, but take it as God's going to use it in your life. Take those difficult and hard times, and God is going to use this in our life for the glory of God. And that's what he done here. What he was doing was preparing a deliverer. And he wasn't going to get that job for about 40 years. He was 40 years old, and it was going to take another 40 years to finish the preparation work on Moses. Okay? And then we see the action here that God did, the reaction of Moses. If you look in chapter 3, in verse number 6, he says, "Moreover, he said, 'I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, 'I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow.'" Of course, this was as Moses approached the burning bush. I can only imagine how he must have felt. I don't know how he felt. He doesn't tell us all his reactions. But he must have seen that burning bush and must have felt, "What is this? What is going on?" I want to tell you something. You're not always going to know what God is doing. You take it a step at a time. You let God work. You let God do. You're not always going to know exactly what he is doing, but he is moving. He is doing. And he approached Moses here, and his reaction was there was some fear there. He was scared, not so much about the burning bush, but what God was going to ask him to do. Let's look at verse number 8. He says, in verse chapter 3, "And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land and a large, and to a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come up unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherein the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee. This is God speaking. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. There was some fear. There was some doubt in Moses' life about what was going on. He didn't understand it. Why should he be chosen out to go to Pharaoh and to Egypt? Why? Because God had chosen him. When it just comes down to it, it's because God had made the decision. I do not know what God has chosen you for life. But I know whatever it is right and proper. Now I want you to listen very closely as we hear what Moses did and what happened here. Because it's very important, because a lot of that is going on today. A lot of people are beginning to doubt and wonder about the call of God in their life and what God is doing in their life. You don't need to know. You don't have to know. It doesn't have to be any of your business. Now, we'll get to the end of it. What I'm saying is, God is preparing. You don't know, you don't have to know all that he's preparing you for. And honestly, I've said this before, if I knew all that had been ahead of me back in 1970 when I answered the call to preach, I would have hit off somewhere. God knows where. And you say, oh, Brother Ross. No. No, no, God don't tell you all that's ahead of you. And it's good that God doesn't tell us all that's ahead of us. He's looking for obedience. He's looking for us to simply do the will of God. Amen? So what happens then in verse 13, Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. We find him identifying and who it is that is calling Moses. And I want to tell you something. There comes a day when God gets real close, when God identifies himself to you and said, it's me that's doing the calling. And I think it's so important. I think Brother David brought it out the other day. Jacob was alone. You remember when Jacob was alone when he wrestled with God? There's going to have to be some things happen between you and God. Right. Just between you and God. Right. Not anybody else. Just between you and God. And God will identify himself to you as he did to me in the backyard in Brazil, Indiana. And I screamed out to God and I said, What is it do you want? Been working on me for some time and I had just come to a place of frustration. It's a place where he wanted me to come. Of God, what is it you want? And within a few days, maybe a week or so, God showed me exactly and completely that he wanted me to preach the Word of God. Now, I can't answer for everybody else. I can't answer for you, and I can't answer for everybody else, but I know God identified himself to me that night and showed me it's him that was speaking. Amen. And showing me the desire that he had for my life. But listen to me, I still had to choose to say yes. I could have said no. Okay? Moses, even though he objected, Moses, although he looked at everything and said, you know, this is just not going to work. I can't do this. I can't speak. I can't do this. He said yes. Now, what it all boils down to is, are we going to say yes to God's calling? If you're here tonight, young person, and God is moving in your life, directing you in a direction for life, you're going to have to be the one that chooses whether you say yes or no. So Moses began to eject. Look in chapter 4, verse number 1. Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." Here he begins to object, and he said, you know, this thing just will not work. I'll go to the Israelite people, and they'll say, God didn't appear to you. He's got it all figured out. Exactly what's going to happen. But it didn't happen that way. Amen? You see, if the moment we try to start figuring out what God's going to do and what God should do and what's going to happen if we do it His will, His way, then we're in real trouble. Now, you listen to me. God's looking for some people. God's looking for some young people to simply say yes to the will of God for your life. We're not talking about you have to be called to preach. You don't have to be called to be a missionary. But I want to tell you something. He's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for your life. And it's God who's got that plan, not you and I. So God began to give him some signs along the way there in chapter 4, verse 2. He says, "And the Lord said unto him, What is in thy hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it to the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. The Lord said unto Moses, Put thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and behold, a rod in his hand. And they that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee." Then he also told him, put his hand in his bosom. It became leprous. He put it back, and it became unleprous. You know what he done? He gave him some assurances along the way. I don't guess I've ever sat down and talked to a preacher and said, did God give you assurances along the way? All I know is he did me. Because there's times when you begin to wonder and you say, how can I do this? How in the world can I preach the word? I don't have the ability to preach the word. As Moses said, I stuttered and didn't could not speak right and all kinds of things. But you see, that's not the problem with God. The problem is willingness to do what God wants done. And so what he's doing here, God gives assurances. He certainly did give me assurances along the way that this is what I want for your life. Without those assurances, I think it would be very difficult to continue to in the way that you should go. But God along the way encourages and helps you and encourages and assures you that this is the will of God for your life. So Moses then began to request someone to go and speak for him, with him. Moses said, I can't speak. In fact, the Bible even says in verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. Also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. Did you notice here? Moses said, I can't speak. I can't speak well. I can't do this. And God was angry at him. See, we began to make excuses why we can't do the will of God. I know there's some miserable people across this world today. I could identify one or two of them as over at Anaconda Aluminum Company that I worked at that had been called of God. They told me face to face that they had refused that call and they'd been miserable the rest of their life. Said it comes to their mind constantly because God had called and they had said no to God's call. Do you understand what this preacher's saying? Listen, it's not what you want to do. It's what God wants done. And so he began to ask for a spokesman, someone that could speak well. And as I say, it angered God. God made Moses' tongue. He knows the ability you have and the ability I have. It isn't important what man thinks. It's important what God thinks. What God wants, what he decides. And then we find, if you read the scripture there in chapter 4, he returns to Egypt where God finally has directed him and has sent him for the rest of his life's work to bring the Israelite people out of Egypt. That was his life's work, 40 years of it. Preparation, it took 80. So that's why some of the college students, they get in college, I seen them in IBC when I went, and he said, one guy came for 1 year, and he said, you know what? He said, I can't be here. He said, I've got too much work to do out there. I've got too much work to do. I've got to get it done. I've got to go out there, and there's too much to do out there. I can't got time for college. You better have time for preparation. God prepared Moses for 80 years. How long has he been preparing you? God gets people ready if we let him. You understand? So we find that in chapter 4, verse 29, let me read to you. He says, and Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord has spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed, and when they heard of that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. You know what he got? He got a wonderful reception with the people of Israel. He said, they're not going to believe that I've come. They're not going to believe you sent me. But look what happened. When he got there, he got a wonderful reception. God has sent someone to deliver them. Now, what I'm saying to you tonight is simply this. Is God preparing you for a specific work? Has he been preparing you since you was a little baby for something very special that he wants you to do? Listen, it's not always going to be that which we would desire to do. I want to share something with you. I don't know whether I've ever said this before or not. Was I excited and jump up and down and clap my hands when God called me to be a preacher? No. I was not excited. Now you're all going to say, Brother Ross, you better listen to me a moment. If anybody would take and look at what it means to be a preacher, a pastor, and get excited about that, it's okay if you do, but I want to tell you, this was one fellow that couldn't even hardly speak to other people. I wasn't excited. You may not understand that. Say, Brother Ross, was being a preacher your choice for your life's work? No. Absolutely not. You see, the whole difference was, it wasn't what I wanted, but what God wanted. And if you would have asked Moses, I think he would have just as soon stayed on the backside of the desert tending sheep, shending the flocks. I think that's why he was objecting. He didn't want to go back there to Egypt. But it was God's call upon his life. See, this is where it's happening a lot in young people. Well, if I don't have that excitement, if I don't have, that's what I want to do for life, then surely God is not calling me. That's not true. That's just not true. God has a reason and a purpose for calling people, and what we've got to decide is, are we going to obey God, or are we going to obey our own instincts, our own desires? Say, Brother Ross, you wouldn't have chose to be a preacher? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You don't understand that, I'm sure, but I would have not have. I had other things in life. You see, God really interrupted my life. We was doing just fine. I was working at Anaconda Aluminum Company, making one of the highest wages in Anaconda Aluminum Company, one of them. I was doing all right. I had a place we just bought a few years before that, 25 acres, and it's where I wanted to live the rest of my life, and I was developing it. I was going out there and digging fence posts the old-fashioned way, And I fenced a lot of that place, and I was getting it all ready. That's where we was going to live. We remodeled the house, made it into a four-bedroom home instead of a two. I was getting ready for life. God comes along and interrupts my life. Just as God came along and interrupted Moses' life in Egypt. And had every right to. And took him on a long journey to the backside of the desert for 40 years. Just thinking he was over there because Pharaoh was trying to kill him. And all the time God was preparing him to go back to Egypt. What I'm trying to say to you is, you know, we've got a generation of young people that simply says, you know what, I don't want to do this, so that makes it I shouldn't do it. That's not true. When it comes right down to it, it doesn't matter what you want. Amen? Now you say, Brother Ross, at the end of life, nearing the end of your life, you've been preaching for 36 years. Are you sorry that you chose God's way? Absolutely not. Didn't realize it, but it was one of the smartest things I ever did. My way would have been a messed up way. I would have messed it up. I'll guarantee you. I know me. I would have, especially being outside the will of God. So what I'm saying to you is this. Are you sorry that you spent all those years? Oh, no, no, no. Are you sorry you minded God? No, 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 no. I am so blessed and so thankful after 36 years of preaching that I can look back and say, thank you, God, for calling this preacher. Thank you. Amen. The things that's been accomplished in my life is because of him. Really had nothing to do with me. The only thing I did was be obedient. I just said yes, but he was the one that did it. Okay? So don't blame my ministry on me. Blame it on God. Amen? And if anything to take credit for, he gets it. Anything there isn't good about it, I'll take it. Yeah, I'll take it. I'm simply saying to you, everybody, though, at that point in life, somewhere along the line, makes the choice. Get saved in 1966 and 1970, I made the choice to follow God in the ministry. I made that choice. With God's help, I made that choice. You too will make a choice. Young people across this country today, don't tell me they're not, because I know better, because there's churches all over this country that don't have pastors. There's countries that does not have missionaries. So don't tell me that God is not calling them. They're calling them, and the people are not listening. They're not hearing. Amen. You know why? Because they want to do it their way. They just want to do it their way. They want their desires of their heart more than the desire of God for their life. This preacher is saying to you, I can give you some advice. 40, 50 years down the road, you'll be a sorry person if you reject the call of God in your life. But if you accept the call of God in your life, no matter the difficulties, you'll be one happy, joyous individual to come to the end of your life and say, thank God. Thank God I obeyed our great God. Amen. So you had to make your choice. Okay? You had to make it. And I hope you make it right. It's not going to be easy. It's not an easy life. You understand me? It's not an easy life, but it's a joyous life. It's a rewarding life. Understand? And when you stand before God Almighty, just think about this, stand before God, You won't have to stand there saying, I rejected the call of God in my life. I said no to my great God. Instead, I chose the way that I wanted to go. I did what I wanted to do. Done it my way. I don't think God's going to be very pleased with that. Understand? You hear me? Now, Moses is a great example. God used him. Started in when he was a baby. When he was a young man. When he was to maturity. Grew up. Become a servant of God. All that time, God was preparing him for that work. God's preparing you for a work of God. You understand me? You better say yes to him. Amen. Please. Let me put it this way. Please say yes. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your goodness and your grace and your kindness to us. Young people all over this auditorium, Lord, tonight, that needs to say yes to Jesus. He just needs to say yes that I'm going to offer myself to be used of you for the rest of my life. Father, help them to realize it's not their way, but your way that's important. Help them to realize that that's what will matter in life and in eternity. So I just pray the perfect will of God be done. Help them to make the right choice, to say yes to your call, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.